Hello, and thank you for joining us for Life Without Limits, Planning with the PA Family Network. I'm Courtney Miles, and today I'm joined by Trooper Jasmine Barakol. Trooper Jasmine, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So Jasmine, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your official title?
So I am Jasmine Barakol. I'm a trooper with the state police. I am a community affairs officer under the Office of Community Engagement, and I cover Troop N.
Okay, awesome. So community affairs officer, I'm guessing this is the first time some of us have heard of that. So what is it exactly that you do, and how is it different than a traditional trooper?
So first off, we're all troopers at the end of the day. I want to tell you a little bit about our office. So the Office of Community Engagement's primary mission is to build trust between law enforcement and the communities that we serve. This collaboration can help identify and problem solve local challenges. It can increase the safety of residents, visitors, and law enforcement. So we make sure that our outreach efforts include every segment of our communities.
That's incredibly important. How, I'm guessing you're not the only one out there who's a community affairs officer. Are there multiple? How many of you guys are there out there?
So within the Office of Community Engagement, there's one community affairs officer per troop. I cover Troop N, which has five stations: Stroudsburg, Bloomsburg, Fern Ridge, Lehighton, and Hay. If you split it by county, it's Monroe, Carbon, Columbia, and part of Luzerne County.
Okay. All right. That's quite the distance. You sounded pretty passionate talking about it a little bit ago. What first interested you in it, or what personally about this position? What do you like about it?
I enjoy the ability to interact with my community face to face. I'm able to tackle problems firsthand and have the ability to set time aside to put together programs and attend events. Typically, when you're in patrol, you're responding to calls. And when you're not responding to calls, you're working on paperwork. It's not often that you have the time to get out into the community. Back in the day, I think, officers had time to stop at the local coffee shop or stop and talk to people. And, right now, calls of service, there's so many that they may not have the time to be able to sit and learn about somebody or go to events or plan events and things like that. So this position gives me the ability to do so.
Seems like it would be a very positive hands-on experience, and just being able to get in the community, it sounds really wonderful. So we talk here a lot on this podcast about intellectual disabilities, people with disabilities, and just navigating life and living the best life possible. So why should a person living with a disability and their family be known to their local law enforcement and other first responders?
So I think it's important for a person living with a disability and their family to be known to their local law enforcement for many reasons. First, it's important to establish a rapport. This can come in handy if they ever have contact with law enforcement. More often than not, people won't come into contact with law enforcement until they need our help. Personally, I believe that creating a positive interaction prior to that first contact will improve the outcome of that situation. Sometimes people with disabilities have a hard time trusting new people, or they may have triggers. For example, if little Johnny stops by the barracks to meet me, I would have the opportunity to sit down with him and learn more about him. I could take him to my car, show him the lights, the sirens, so that he's comfortable. If we respond to his house, he knows what he'll see or hear. This also gives me the opportunity to see how he reacts to the lights and sirens. If I know that he's triggered by them, doesn't like them, I know that maybe if we have to respond to his house, that maybe when we get close, we have to turn the lights and the sirens off so that he's okay and not scared. If they come and meet us at the barracks, we can learn things about them. We can learn what makes them comfortable, what places or people that they like. In a situation where maybe the child or adult elopes, we have an understanding of maybe where their favorite place is to go. So now we have something in our head like, oh, I talked to Johnny before. Like, he loves that pond down the road. Like, maybe that would be the first place that we search. So being able to have these interactions and learning things, about them will help if we have to help them or respond to their house anytime in the future.
That's incredibly important. I have to say, just hearing you talk about that a little bit, hearing things like elopement and just being very knowledgeable about the IDA community, I think that's really, really fantastic. And I love knowing that there are community affairs officers like you out there who, and troopers in general, who are very aware of the IDA community and the impact that they have and vice versa. So I know you mentioned the coming to the barracks. I think that's a lot of people would be interested in a tour. Can arrangements be made for tours of local state police barracks?
Yes. So I can't say that they happen often due to the availability of the patrol officers that are usually at the barracks. But if you reach out to your local community affairs officer, we'll be more than willing to try to schedule a tour so that we could show you around the barracks, and maybe you can meet some of the patrol people. That those would be the people that you're probably going to come in contact to when you call 911. They're the ones that are responding.
Gotcha. Okay. And I think you touched on this a little bit about outreach events. In general, can local community affairs officers engage with community participation support programs, which used to be called day programs, or other types of outreach events as they're available?
Yes, I know as far as the Office of Community Engagement, we often attend PA Family Network summits within our respective areas. Actually, our Troop K Community Affairs Officer recently held the inaugural PSP Neurodiversity and Autism Resource Event, which was a super hit that was down towards the Philly area. We're always looking for events to attend and people to collaborate with.
I was saying, we were just discussing this before we started recording, but we have been fortunate enough to have you and a lot of your other troopers, your fellow troopers, at our summits. And I know it's been really, really engaging for the people attending to be able to chat with you guys and just to have you there. So thank you. Thank you for coming to this.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. We look forward to what the future holds and more summits and more events and collaboration. This was fantastic. Thank you for joining us today and discussing something that you're clearly passionate about and that we are too.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us for the Life Without Limits podcast, Planning with the PA Family Network. We hope that you'll join us again to hear from more individuals. If you'd like to get in contact with us, we can be reached at 1-844-PA-FAMILY or on the web at visionforequality.org.